And welcome back here to Women's Word on CHRY, and that's 105.5 FM. And right now on the phone, I am joined by Julie Grant. Are you there, Julie?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi. So as I mentioned previously, today we're discussing the Canadian sex worker case and prostitution laws. So I'd like to begin first by introducing Julie, who is the executive of Sex Professionals of Canada and a self-declared sex worker.
Yes, I am. Yes, so I'm the executive at large with the Sex Professionals of Canada. And I'll just let you know, it's a volunteer-run social and political group of former sex workers and current sex workers. And we believe that sex work is a valid occupation like any other job. Our main objective is to work towards total decriminalization and destigmatization through political activism and public awareness. And this group actually started in 1983 as the Canadian Organization for the Rights of Prostitutes. And the name has changed, but the goals remain the same.
Can you describe what your position is and how you began to work there?
Well, it's not. It's a volunteer spot, but I was interested in fighting towards decriminalization, because the one thing, even though sex work itself is not inherently violent, you always are afraid of being arrested. You're always constantly, the way that we go about our jobs is always to avoid detection and fear of being caught, fear of having your kids taken away. So I wanted to kind of do whatever I could do, and also I think it's so good, the more sex workers that are out there and fighting against our hypocritical laws, and the more visible we can be, I think the more the general population kind of views us as, you know, regular human beings and not these stereotypical people that need to be locked up or put away or looked after for their own good.
Mm-hmm. So what is SPOC and why is it so necessary?
Well, I think it's so necessary for the very reasons I just described. I think decriminalization is absolutely essential. I think it will take steps towards destigmatization and having better lives for sex workers. There are sex workers that have, you know, happy lives, but you always have lurking over you is this fear of criminalization or fear of violence, which you may be reluctant to report because you will be the one who may be going to jail. So I think the more open and visible that we can be, the better chance we have of having a better job environment and having the same protections as other people.
Mm-hmm. I was checking out the SPOC website, and there were a few things I noticed there that I hadn't seen before, or I had no idea existed. For example, the bad client list.
Yes.
So yes. Can you explain that? And can you also explain some of the stigmas that you've come across and why they're false?
So the bad client list is the list that people can contact SPOC and tell us about bad clients that they've had. Now usually these are clients that are just wasting your time. They're getting you to show up places where they aren't really at, or they're watching you and they're just messing with you. There's also dangerous clients that everyone needs to know about, and there's a variety of sources on the internet for that. And the other great source for bad clients is through the agencies. They usually have, you know, binders of bad clients. And when I say bad clients, I generally mean guys who don't answer the door when you show up, or guys who are playing games. But it saves you a lot of time and effort if you can avoid those people. So it is a great resource for people doing sex work. And as far as other stigmas or associated with sex work, I would say, you know, the worst stigma is that this is all, that prostitution is in itself violence, and it's not. It's not inherently violent at all. Most sex work is not violent. We actually like our clients. We actually get along with our clients, and they like us, and they're nice to us, and we want to keep them. So I think there's just this general kind of stereotype that it's a terrible, terrible experience And it's always like that, no matter, and it's absolutely not always like that by any means.
Mm-hmm. I was reading earlier, and it seems like a lot of the people who are arguing for criminalization say that it's degrading and it's harmful, and the women who are in it, most of them are drug addicts or they've faced some kind of trauma before. Has that ever happened to you?
Well, no, it hasn't actually. The only thing I've ever experienced, I was on a call with another girl on one occasion, and she, when we both went into this call, we met these two guys, and when we were splitting up to go our separate ways at this residence, all of a sudden she started to yell, and the guy was actually kind of strangling her. Like, he had his hand around her neck, and he wanted his money back. And this is it within 5 minutes. Like, we hadn't even been separated, and nothing had started to go on yet. And we actually went to report that to the police, and they didn't care at all about that. They cared about who is your agency, how did, you know, all they asked about was the agency and how this worked and how they got, you know, who our boss was and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. And actually, we're independent contractors, because I'm an outcall escort, by the way. I'll mention that. But I noticed it's so difficult to go and report something or go and deal with something whenever you're viewed as being part of a criminal organization or as a criminal yourself. They care more about prosecuting you than they do about bad things that happen to you. Because I think that society almost, in our government, almost looks at the harms that are potentially out there as being deterrents, because they don't like prostitution and they want it to go away. So I think they don't like prostitutes and want them to go away as well. Like, I think they are happy to have this hypocritical system exist where there is harm out there, and hopefully that will deter us from entering the business. But when you actually get into the business, the one thing that's quite startling is that the amount of harm you imagined you would encounter, you do not, because this is a stereotype. This is like whenever you go in and you've been working for 2 weeks and 3 weeks and 4 weeks and you've never had a bad encounter, and then it becomes a year and you never have, and you keep your, you know, it's like, where is this information coming from that this is so terrible? Because, you know, guys don't want to get on a bad call list or a bad client list, because then they lose, you know, they can't see those girls anymore. Agencies won't send people to them anymore, and they don't want to be on that list. Like, people are nice to you. You're at their houses. You're at hotels. The police will come if something bad happens, if you call the police. So, like, they don't, you know, they're just not the predators and perpetrators that they're portrayed to be, and we're not the victims that we're portrayed to be either.
We were talking earlier on the phone, and you were pretty vocal about identifying as a feminist.
Yes, I am a feminist. Mm-hmm. I've worked at feminist nonprofits throughout most of my life, and I've been involved with feminism since I was a teen, and I'm now in my 40s. And I also found, like, I was quite reluctant in that role, especially dealing with victims of crime, coming into this and hearing all the information. We had seminars about it, and we had training about it, and it was absolutely nothing like the experience that I had once I entered into this work. Like, I actually started as a driver during a time of crisis in my life, and I was driving in addition to another job I was doing. And I ended up quitting the other job and being a full-time driver. But every time I took a person on her first call, she would say, "Oh, my God, that was so much better." And I just heard, like, I would talk to these people for months, the women in my car who ranged, you know, from 20 to in their 50s, who were every kind of woman you could imagine. Women I would never have thought, you know, would be in the sex industry, because they looked like your grandma or your mom or your cousin, or, you know, they were, you know, big women, little women, every color of woman, you know, every type of woman. And they all seemed to have, you know, these not bad experiences, you know, not necessarily great experiences, but not bad experiences. None that I had driven on had any kind of violent encounter. And then, you know, I ended up switching over and thinking, you know what, I can do this too. You know, I can do this too, because I, as a driver, you go into calls if they're, if their girls are outnumbered. So if there's three girls going to a call, and girls is a technical jargon term in the sex industry, it's not a derogatory term. But if there's four guys in the house and three girls are going, the driver goes in to just watch the extra guy and make sure he's not going anywhere he shouldn't be going. So I was going into a lot of the calls as well, and it just seemed like everyone was so nice, and everyone seemed, you know, it just didn't seem like this terrible environment. So I ended up switching, and I've been doing this for over 10 years, and it's longer than I've ever stayed at any job. And I'm not, you know, prostituted, and nobody's making me do this. I'm choosing to do this.
Can you bring us up to date on any current legal developments that are happening with the case right now?
Well, the only thing going on right now is that the Ontario Court of Appeal is making their decision after the government of Canada and Ontario both appealed our win, or the win of the applicants, last September. So in the courts last September, the three provisions were struck down: body house, living on the avails, and communicating. And the governments are appealing those, and right now that court is making their decision. So those arguments have all been heard back in June, and there should be a decision coming probably, I think they said it could be about 6 months from the June date. Mm-hmm. So in a few months, there should be a decision.
Right. The laws that are currently in place are pretty admittedly contradictory, in that they're pushing you out of safe spaces, but you're still allowed to actually sell sex. So what are your thoughts on this this strange hypocritical set of laws that are in place?
I think it's disgusting. I think it is so hypocritical, as you said. It's endangering us. It's doing this thing that they don't like prostitution, but it is legal. It's totally legal in this country, and it always has been, to provide sexual services for money. So if it's legal, why is it illegal to talk about it? Why is it illegal to communicate about a legal act? Like, none of it makes any sense. You're not allowed to work together. In fact, you know, in the summer of 2010, the Conservative government actually made new regulations that upped the punishment to 5 years max from a 2-year on a body house charge, and they're making it part of organized crime. Like, they're making things even more difficult. So women work together for safety. That's why people work at agencies. And most of those agencies, by the way, are run by former sex workers. Like, every single agency I've ever worked for is run by a sex worker. Like, these are people who know what they're doing. In fact, they work for you. You don't work for them. You're independent contractors. The security, they do the phone work and the transportation. And, you know, they provide you with a service along with their bad client lists. So, you know, we don't see those organizations as pimps and as predators either. And our laws, like, the discussion around it seems to be an unenlightened discussion that doesn't involve sex workers. And that's why it's kind of off base. Like, they're always a bit wrong when they're talking about the realities of sex work, because they don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Throughout your conversation, you mentioned that safety is paramount, and that's what you're really after. So how does this lack of safety relate to the Charter of Rights and Freedoms?
Well, this whole case, that this whole court challenge was brought about because of the dangers that are faced, because this is not a totally, even though it's legal, it's not in many ways, because of all these other, these provisions that were challenged. And Justice Susan Himmel found that the law forces prostitutes to choose between their liberty and their security of person as protected under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. So that's exactly correct. Like, it's like, we are people that live in this country. We have the right to be secure like every other person, and yet we've got a myriad of laws that have set us up to be put in danger because some people deem us to be a nuisance, because people don't like prostitution. And it almost seems as if, and even one of the government lawyers seemed to argue that these harms are part of the job, and you're taking that on if you go into this job. And even one of the judges during the appeal said something like, well, so should assault be legal then as a deterrent? You know, because essentially they seem to be saying, and the way it's actually working seems to be like they do want to harm prostitutes, and maybe they even want to, you know, exterminate prostitutes because it gets rid of the problem of prostitution, even though prostitution is legal. Like, it feels that way. It feels like no one cares about sex workers. They're happy to have them be hurt and injured. They're happy to have these threats lingering out there so that it's a deterrent to going into it. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to deal with it. Like, I think they keep hoping it'll just go away by itself, but it won't, you know, and they know it won't. And even every government has agreed that the laws we have are not working, but nobody wants to take on changing those or eliminating some of those. You know, it's not a popular cause in the general public.
Right. As I was reading, I mentioned two terms that kept coming up, and these are abolitionist and prohibitionist. Yeah. Could you just please explain those within your own, your own experience and your own reference?
Well, self-described abolitionists are basically associating sex work with slavery and seeing themselves as freeing the slaves. They claim that sex work is violence against women, and they take on this mantra to try to seem as though they're saving us, when we don't want them to. And we are saying, you know, we don't want rescue here. We don't need to be rescued. You need to butt out and listen to us, because they're not listening to us at all. Because they deem this to be sexist or whatever, they don't like it as well, because it is mostly women, but it of course is not all women. There's trans people, there's males, there's females. In adult consensual prostitution, I think everyone should be allowed to make their own decisions, and they don't think everyone should be allowed to make their own decisions. They think they know better than we do about our own lives. And also, we often refer to these abolitionists, self-described, as prohibitionists, because what they're just trying to do is what prohibitionists have done, is there's an activity that they don't like for whatever reason, they disapprove of it, and they don't want it to happen. So it's like drinking alcohol or doing drugs or whatever it is. This is sexual activity for money. They don't like that going on, and they want to prohibit it. They have largely gone in endorsing, trying not to seem like they hate sex workers. They've come out to try to endorse the Nordic example, where they are charging just the clients. And that, if you talk to Swedish prostitutes, they're not very happy. Like, all it's done there is driven them more underground. They still have a criminalized profession. It didn't help them that they're not going, you know, they're not going to jail. In fact, you lost your best clients. Like, the best clients, the ones that you like to see the most, who are the most afraid, perhaps they have good jobs and things like that, they're afraid of being charged. You kind of lost the best of them, and your selection base lowered. So you're more at risk. You have to hide. Again, the more underground something is, the more dangerous it is. So that's very unfortunate. Now we have Conservative MP Joy Smith coming forward with the bill. It's going to be the fourth bill going in the fall session, and that would criminalize the clients. It's the pimps, which are not, that's not even a term in law here. But those, again, would be anyone, I assume they're just categorizing anyone who makes money from this job that's not the actual prostitute herself. Again, so that would be agencies, which are an incredible resource. And when we work together, like when people work together, we do tend to like each other. And if this was a more open kind of industry, we could get rid of the few bad owners, the few bad people, and make employment complaints about them. You know, we could make complaints about activities that are unethical, but as it sits right now, we can't. And what we tend to do is just go to the places that are the best places to work, if that's the way we're choosing to do it. And many of the people I know just choose to go on their own or with a group of a few, like three or four people, and share a space. It is a very safe way to do it. It is safer to work indoors. But again, and you have to make sure that the people that work outdoors are as safe as possible, and that's why that communicating law is absolutely ridiculous and has to be struck down, so that people do have bad call lists, and they have to be able to assess someone. Like, you, even 5 minutes, 4 minutes with someone, I do that every time I go into a call. I walk in, I have a driver outside, and I talk to that person, and that few minutes does tell me a lot about them. I have left in the first 4 minutes because it's like I can tell the person's unstable. I just say, you know what, I forgot something in my car, I'm going to go out and get it. And then I call it in and say, this person, you shouldn't send anyone, there's something wrong with them. Now, they might not have been dangerous, I don't know, but I could tell in that first little bit of time that there's something wasn't right, or perhaps they were agitated, perhaps they were hallucinating or something. So, you know, that five-minute assessment is really important, and people at work the streets absolutely have to be able to do that there as well, because they have to do the same assessments we all do.
Mm-hmm. It's also illegal currently to run a regular space or to have three or more women working together.
Right, and the body house.
Yeah, ideally, what would you as a sex worker like to see happen in terms of legality and working environments?
Well, I would just like to see decriminalization. I wouldn't like to see huge regulation, because, again, the governments never know what they're doing, and they do things wrong. Like, there's places in Ontario where they have actually licensed escort businesses. Like, in Toronto, massage is often licensed as well. And then because they're licensed, the bylaw can come through whenever they want and things like that. So I don't have a problem with inspection of spaces and stuff like that. But I do have they do make incredibly high fees. Like, I know in Barrie, Ontario, they charge $3,000 for, like, a escort agency license, like, which is more than, like, Zehrs pays for their store to have a license. Like, they seem to not consult anyone. They just make up rules. They think that they know how things are run, and they don't make any sense. And if you're going to make massive fees for licensing and things like that, nobody's going to participate in that either, because they're not going to be able to afford to. So I think I would like to see a hands-off approach. Like, let us just be able to work. Let us create our own environments as we see fit, work with who we want to work with, the way we want to work, and be able to report problems just like you could in any other job. But I wouldn't like to see the government running things or even licensing things.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to about take us to the end of our hour today. I wanted to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experiences with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I really appreciate it.
I hope that more people really, really take this issue to heart. I know it is a source of conflict in the feminist community. It is very, very divisive. But I really wish that people would listen to actual sex workers, because you will not find a current sex worker that wants to be criminalized. You will not find any sex worker that works, that actually currently works, that isn't a former sex worker who's now paid to fight sex work, coming out and being for striking, for having these laws that criminalize sex work. So please listen to sex workers, ones that are actually in it, and believe them.
All right. Thank you again.
Thank you
for
very
coming
much,
on.
Sarah.
We'll talk to you again.
Okay.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.